up, homies? How's my peeps? It's another Gloucester cast. We're bringing it back old school. I got my homie, Toby Pett, here. How you doing, Toby?
Good morning, Gloucester.
A little controversy on the blog today.
Just a little.
A little ridiculousness. Is
Lighten up, Francis.
Lighten up, Francis. Call me psycho. Oh, my God. People we have to deal with on this blog. Oh, my God. Seriously, the easily offended, the people taking things out of context and, you know, that want to be offended over things. And today's controversy, 101. Someone doesn't like the word homie. The term, we have 572 posts on Good Morning Gloucester that have been placed in the category, What Up, Homie. It was one of the first features we ever had on the blog. It featured a seagull or some other type of seabird with a caption bubble with some kind of, either he was saying something to another bird or it was describing the scene, or sometimes when the fiesta was coming up, we'd have the homie doing the countdown. And Jim Casey is very offended. He's offended. He relates it to his terrible experiences with gangs in L.A. And not to take anything away from his probably terrible experiences in L.A. With gangs. But this simply is not the context in which we use the term homie.
Yeah, I mean, look up on Wikipedia the definition of homie.
A variation. Well, listen, some gangbangers use the term homie. It's plenty of other people use it. I've used the term homie with my friends growing up as long as I can remember. I mean, we have greeted each other. What up, homie? You know, what's going on? You know, just a slang kind of
homie
joke.
Homie the clown.
It's not a swear word, in my opinion. It's homie the clown. Right, exactly. But, you know, it's just like... have we ever used it in a way? You know what I mean?
Like, I've never used it that way.
Have you ever used it in a bad way?
No, never.
No, never. Right. So, people that want to be offended over pick their things, and if you don't agree with them, then you're the Antichrist, I guess. I guess today is my day to be the Antichrist because we say, "What up, homie?" And this wasn't even my post. This is Nicole Schraff's post about the license plate, which, you know, she's doing a joke on the whole. Chamber license plate thing that we should have submitted something, but we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the seagull is certainly prevalent in Manchester, Essex, Gloucester, and Rockport, so it definitely represents.
Oh my God, it would have been tremendous. It would have been totally tremendous. But whatever. So we got this. I don't even know that it's really a controversy. It's a couple, you know, I think he's more offended that I answered LOL. But you can't give these people, you can't give them like a platform to say that this is even credible. You start getting into it with these people, like, do they deserve your time? You know what I mean? It's like, it's so preposterous that to try to, you know, and it sounds, I'm not saying this guy's a racist, okay? But it sounds so racist to say that word depicts bad black guys. And you know what I mean? It's like, what are you saying, buddy? You know what I mean? Like, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Making that inference? I mean, come on. You know, I mean.
Well, the other thing, and I think one thing that's important here is you're moderating and publishing his responses, and somebody else who supports him, if you didn't want to give him that opportunity, you wouldn't have to post it. The fact that he responds that way does not automatically
seem that I have to agree with him.
No. But you posted it because you want to make sure that you're fair.
Yeah. No, I mean, I post it. As long as people aren't, you know, nasty or taking shots at, you know, things that I think.
But you still have to moderate it.
I definitely have to moderate it.
I mean, it doesn't automatically get posted, is my point.
And no. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that it's like some type of democracy that I owe them. This goes back to the, you owe me and you owe everyone to make the blog the way I want it to be, to the way that person sees it to be. It's, you know, you have a high, like I have some kind of higher calling that you know, I'm supposed to be like a priest or something. Yeah, that's not the case. You know,
it's your blog.
Well, it's the Good Morning Gloucester contributors blog. It's a community blog. We don't, you know, it's not my blog. I've always maintained it's not my blog. It's the community's blog. But it's not a democracy. You know, we're not going to let people run roughshod over us. So you can look forward to more of the What Up Homie post, because now.
You're inspired?
I'm inspired. I'm bringing it back. Like a lot of people have said, you know, it's not like it used to be, you know, a lot of the waterfront stuff. So we're bringing it back. We're going to bring it back old school GMG style. And a big part of that was a daily post, What Up Homie post.
Right.
There you go.
And maybe Morrison will get stimulated too.
So I need to thank Jim. What's his last name?
Casey.
Jim Casey. I need to thank you, Jim, for inspiring us and to bringing it back to the way that people actually really wanted it. A little bit fun.
Old school.
Old school. Good Morning Gloucester, old school. There you go. Toby's here with us. Toby Pet. Toby, talk to me right now. Give me a couple of your best meals in the local meals in the past week or so.
Well, I can tell you that Thursday night, I was lucky enough to be part of a full house. The Passports wine dinner was sold out. There was not a space in the house, and this was it was also kind of a retro in the sense that Andrew the Wine Bear was back helping Eric and his crew host it. Andrew used to be a salesman for one of the wine companies and kind of got out of the business for a brief period, and now he's back working for another company. And he brought in some fabulous wines from the Bordeaux region in France. And Eric and his crew, I can tell you, quail.
They nailed it?
They nailed it. That would be an understatement. Everything else pales compared to that.
Now, the people may not realize, well, some people do, but that's one of the best values in town. Four courses.
Yeah, four courses with four wines. Mm-hmm. Eric does it for two reasons. At least it's my understanding that he does it for two reasons. One, he does it as a reward for the regulars. Mm-hmm. It's on a Thursday night, so it doesn't interfere with his weekend business.
Well, he's going to be packed anyway.
Right. And so he does it as a reward for the regulars, and he also does it as an opportunity for some of the newcomers who may not, know wines, that sort of thing, to educate themselves. And it's a good time. Everyone has a good time, but I can tell you this particular event this past Thursday was sold out.
What was the menu?
A couple
of the items.
Well, there was a quail.
When they serve the quail, you got the legs sticking up at you?
It's all flattened, kind of like flattened out.
Okay, so it's not like the Cornish game hens?
No.
Okay.
And they also did a beef Wellington with a filet mignon. Outstanding. Of course, the finish was with some cheeses and nuts.
So reds were the what were the wines? Were they whites or reds?
White.
With the quail.
No, white for the first course, and then a lighter red with the quail, a much bigger, bolder red with the beef Wellington, and then finished with it's a finishing wine. Some people refer to them as dessert wines. Yeah. It's a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really, the way to think of them is finishing wines, not so much. And the important thing, and one of the things that you learn if you participate in these things, is wines have to have enough, let's say, acidity to stand up to the food that they're going to complement. It's an educational process as well. So clearly that was my favorite meal of the past week or so.
Eric Lorden, the guy who, the owner, our good friend that owns Passports, he called me up midweek last week, and he told me, he said, Joe, he goes, here's, I'm at Shaw's Market right now. He happens to live close to Shaw's, so he'll shop there often. He says, they have porterhouse steaks right now that are $6.99 a pound. He goes, my wholesale cost on these same steaks are $11. I can't get them cheaper than $11 for the, if I want to buy them wholesale for the restaurant. He goes, I am buying a bunch for the house. I'm gonna cook these up tonight. And so he bought them. This is all through text. And he texted me later. He goes, oh my God, they're incredible. So I went down there and I picked some up. And they were, what, he turned me on to a great buy. I had them two nights in a row. They were so good. What's your favorite cut of steak, Toby? If you're gonna pick up a steak for dinner for the grill, what are you gonna pick up?
I mean, I love ribeyes.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a ribeye. If it's a grass-fed beef, if there's enough marbling, I think you can't be beat. If it's accompanied with some really well-made pommes frites, French fries, it's hard.
You like French fries. You know what I like even a little bit more? Like cubed up, like not thick cubes, but baked, but like almost like home-style fry.
But they got to be crisp.
But they got to be crisp, yeah.
I mean, I think that's part of it. Trying to get that texture, if it doesn't have that texture, it's totally wasted. There's nothing worse than a limpy, French fry.
Right.
I mean, it's my
nothing
point.
Nothing worse than a limpy French fry. That's right. Absolutely. I agree with you. And, so that's why I kind of like them baked better. I don't know why, but that's why we've been having them lately. A little rosemary and...
Oh.
Right,
olive oil. Toss with a little bit of olive oil. Yeah.
It's tremendous. Let's see. Where have I eaten this past week? Sister Felicia's making the lamb, the lollipops.
The lamby pops.
The lamby pops.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Greek kind of tzatziki dress. I don't know what it is.
She does a cucumber.
Cucumber dill or whatever kind of dressing.
Yeah.
Like, I never really thought before.
Are we all invited?
Before she. I don't invite for people to her house. That's for her to do. But the. I never really thought of lamb as this thing that I would crave. But after having it, I don't know if it was last year or the year before at her house for Easter. Oh my. OMG. Ridiculous.
Well, she, I think in her post this week where she put up the recipe. For all of you that are hearing this podcast and thinking, geez.
Oh, she did it for the lamb pops? I missed it.
Yeah, she put up the lamby pops. And in the post, she basically said it happened sort of by accident. Mm. She got the meat, and then she was trying to think about how to prepare them, and she kind of had to look at what she had in the fridge, and
so good.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. I would highly recommend. I think she said she got 40 lamby pops for tomorrow. So we're gonna be eating well. I'm psyched. We got that going on. Where else?
But you're not gonna have the Stilton.
I won't have Toby's incredible, like one of my favorite cheeses ever. That's another thing I never would have guessed would have been my favorite cheese ever. Yeah. That was like eating. It was almost like chocolate.
Well,
like the taste of chocolate, but it was like that kind of like a really
the creaminess.
Yeah, creaminess of like a really good milk chocolate, And it was like that kind of a, oh my God, so good.
Yeah, cheese is, that's another area where you can have so much fun. I mean, once you have real Parmigiano, Reggiano, I mean, trying to go back to some of the stuff that comes in those containers, you can't.
If you have grated cheese at the house and you go and buy it like the stuff that you get at Market Basket or something, and as opposed to what you can get at Virgilio's or Sclafani's or Gepace, whatever, it's like night and day. The sharpness,
it's
just different grades. It's a whole different animal.
Right. The cheesemakers. I mean, I was lucky enough. I joined a friend up on Federal Hill in Providence this week. Federal Hill is the old Italian neighborhood. Atwell's Ave would be the exit, and went to a place called Constantino's Venda Complex, and I got some.
Yeah, you got the real deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. This week is, today as we speak is the sidewalk sweeping days. Next Saturday is Gloucester's Earth Day thing, but there's also a bunch of different events in between celebrating Earth Day. I'm asking basically everyone, where do you fall on the carry-in, carry-out versus trash cans on the beach?
Well, I don't think it works. I mean, it's
you
nice.
You don't think carry-in, carry-out works?
Go down there. I mean, you'll see
I have to say this though. I spoke to Patty, so I have to. I'll take the opposite. I'll take what I think is her side. Well, she really didn't bring this up, but I did. Like, they don't. The city isn't managing the beach right now. Do you know? You understand?
Right. What? It's closed.
It's closed. So they don't.
That's why the dogs are running free.
They're not right. They're not sweeping this. They're not sweeping the beaches and stuff like that. And at the end of the day,
there's no lifeguards. Sweeping the beach.
The
right.
DPW, I don't think, is down there yet.
No.
So it's gonna be a mess. Like, you know, they have a year. You have a winter's worth of trash there. So I don't think it's fair to say carry in, carry out is a failure based on a winter's worth of trash. Am I right in that or not?
No, I get your point. It's well made, but I think even during the summer, and when the DPW is managing it, and they do a great job. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the DPW director and his staff. But that said, there still is enough trash around the beaches, which is a shame. It's, you know.
I don't even know. I'm still torn. The answer, she said that they put 40 barrels down there. Where did they put 40 barrels? She said they had 40 barrels of Good Harbor Beach. And I'm trying to gather my thoughts around.
You mean there used to be?
She says before they stopped it, they had 40 barrels there.
Yeah.
When they went to carry. And I'm thinking to myself, where could you possibly have put 40 barrels there? There's four entrances, right? There's the main one, right, where the concession is.
Correct.
There's one before that. There's one after that.
Right.
And then there's, if you...
Well, there's the Briar Neck side.
Okay, so there's another one. There's five.
And you can certainly go to the footbridge.
And then you say the footbridge is six.
Right.
Okay, and so say you put three around the concession, that makes nine. So how do you come up with 40? Okay, at the exit of the beach where the guard shack is, there's 10.
There were some, I mean, I have a close friend, and his name is Lenny. And Lenny and his group of, you know, his significant other and her brother and a whole bunch of people, they used to say, if you want to find us, it's the third barrel, we're down near the third barrel down from the Briar Neck side.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's no barrel there anymore.
Right.
But that's how they would describe their beach location.
Mm-hmm.
Third barrel down.
Just 40 barrels. I don't know if that she's talking about Good Harbor, if that's all the beaches. 40 barrels seem like a lot of barrels.
I
don't ever remember clusters of three barrels around each other. Because from what we just mentioned, say we extrapolated it out to 10, right? So that would be four times what we extrapolated to.
Well, I think it with the carry in, carry out, I mean, people tend to recycle more, and that's certainly important. Recycling is important. If you have a chance to just put cans and bottles and everything else into a barrel, I mean, people, you know, with garbage, I mean, you can't expect anyone to have to sort through that.
I personally don't have a problem with carry in, carry out. I mean, I really don't have a problem. But I don't really have hard, I don't have strong feelings either way, honestly. At the same time, it seems to me, like, they say it's impossible to keep these barrels maintained, like, to keep these things from overflowing. And I mean, two kids, right, $10 an hour each. Say $11 each, right? 8-hour shift. From 10 a.m. to, what's an 8-hour shift? That would be to 6 p.m., right?
Right.
10 to 6, two kids, and they go...
From one end of the beach to the other.
They go to one. They got a cart. They lug the cart. They take turns lugging the cart. They bag. There's bags in the barrels. They put the bag in the barrel. They cinch it up. Put it in the cart. Drag it up to the dumpster. They go to the next dumpster. They do the same thing. They just go back and forth up and down the beach. That seems like a reasonable job for a kid, right? A young high school athlete.
Sure.
Male or female.
Right.
You know, we're not saying either way. So
how did you spend your summer?
Whatever. That's what I did. $11 an hour, and I picked up the trash on the beach. So there's two kids, 8 hours apiece. That's 16 hours at $11 an hour. Let's do the math. 16 hours times 11 is $176.
Yeah, but it's not 7 days a week because you get inclement weather and people aren't using the beach, so there's no real need to have them picking up the trash because
But say when I do these numbers, I say the worst case scenario. That's what it is. But you get. But you know what I mean, that's how many cars is that that you took money from? You know.
What I mean? Well, right. Plus the taxpayers. Are entitled to a little bit of service. I'm not saying that people should be picked up after.
So I don't know. I really don't know the right answer. I don't have strong feelings either way on this, but some people do. That's the only reason we're talking about this.
Well, as I said, one of the issues is, I think that some people have, is that they want to make sure that recycling takes place. And unfortunately, they may have barrels, but they don't have one for, let's say, cans and bottles. And you know.
Well, let's put it this way now. I really don't think that's that difficult to have two barrels, one recycling and one non-recyclable, right?
Well, I mean, if you're out during the day, and I know occasionally you are, for example, when you're making your deliveries to some of the restaurants, there are these people that go through neighborhoods where it's trash day, and they will go through the recycling boxes that are set out, or recycling containers, looking for returnables.
Speaking of that, yesterday at my mom's house, a kid came up the street. It was from MassPurg. You ever heard of MassPurg?
Yeah, PIRG.
Yeah, they're trying to get signatures to say that the water and juice bottles, plastic bottles that are currently exempt from the 5 cent tax.
Well, it's a return fee. They charge it, and you can get it refunded if you take them back to yourself.
Right. They want to do that for water and juice drinks things. So I don't know. We'll talk about that in a sec.
Look, my particular feelings are that if you put that 5 cent tax on the water bottles and the juice bottles and that sort of thing, and for those people that don't take them to the store to redeem that 5 cents, they're going to have these same people who go around and currently go through looking for the existing returnables to clean them out. It can only reduce our costs.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
You pay more, and if you don't take them back for your nickel deposit,
it's on you. It's just a way to get another tax, but it'll also reduce. You know what I'd like to see it on? I'd like to see it on Styrofoam cups more than anything. I think Styrofoam cups are coffee cups get, and not on paper ones, because paper ones do disintegrate. Styrofoam cups, I would love to see a 5 cent tax on.
Well, but they can make some of those out of a plant protein that will eventually disintegrate. But that's not the point. What we want to make sure of is that there is less litter, and there are these people who either supplement their income, or it is their income because they have no other job, and they go around and they will pick them out and make sure that they get returned.
Oh.
That's all.
I think it's a win. Yeah. Definitely a win. What's going on now? So this is the freezing weather. I mean, do we even do it's gonna.
The other morning you were half suicidal.
I was irate. I mean, it's just. But this, there's no more spring. I'd like an investigation why there is no spring and then why is there no more fall. We're gonna have my prediction. Beautiful, another gorgeous. The last couple summers, have we had gorgeous summers or not?
Okay, so what are you saying? There has been, because of abuses, there is now climate change? Is that what you're saying? Was Al Gore?
I don't know if it, I think you have to look at some. There's got to be some type of climate change, but I don't know that it's. And I don't know enough. But what I am saying is that. There has noticeably been, for the past couple of years, the pattern has been long to get out of winter, like it would be bypassing spring.
You were a skier, the last couple of winters have been spectacular.
Spectacular.
Okay, there have been copious amounts of snow. The weather, there haven't been the long, prolonged thaws.
Yeah, but I talked to the mailman, the guy that hobbles around town all over the place.
Yeah.
He's the avid skier.
Yeah, no, I know who he is. Yeah.
And when he told me he could go skiing this weekend, but he's had enough. He's not going to go skiing. He's going to go golfing instead. So when that guy, who I consider the most psychotic skier out of all the skiers in town, the most, because he can barely walk, but he still goes skiing.
Yeah.
When he throws in the towel and says, I'm going to go golfing, I think everybody's had enough of the skiing.
Okay. I think, yeah, I get it. I mean, he skis a lot, and but he also, I think his family is one of the shareholders in the Rockport Golf Club. So he grew up on a steady diet of golf, and I don't think it's just that he, is looking for an alternative to skiing. I think he's been an avid golfer. That's part of his life.
Do you know many people right? I'm gonna say many people right now that are like dying to still ski.
Well, I know a few people that are out in Utah right now. I mean, the truth of the matter is most of the resorts in New England, they're not even running their lifts. Mm-hmm. If they are running them, they may be running them to service limited terrain. I mean, they can't afford it. I mean, nobody's buying day tickets.
Well,
it's only a few season passes.
People have had enough.
Yeah.
People, even the people, the snow lovers, because I'm not a snow lover. I'm not a cold lover.
No, I know.
I can
people
understand.
Want to tend to their gardens, and it's not just golf. People want to get the yards ready. Yeah. People want to.
I understand why I don't want to do it, but when the people that embrace and love the skiing have said enough, then people have had it.
I mean, part of the whole thing that drives that is that the families, the kids have. I mean, it's that time of the year where the kids have to get into other sports and in school, and so there is no time to drag the family back up to the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's time to shift gears. But anyway, we can, I'm ready.
I mean, there's no spring. There's no gradual transition. It's just like winter, then summer. And then I think when the summer hits, it's going to be. I think we're going to have an incredible summer.
Another one.
I do, and I think because that's the trend, and I believe in trends. So the trend is going to be. Probably like very little rain once summer hits, and it's gonna be like sunny, beautiful weekends straight on out all the way through November.
Well, I hope so.
Late October.
I hope so. In a certain sense, I mean, we have it's all the people that not just our friends that own businesses around town that are dependent on there being a lot of good weather. I mean, the restaurant owners, the innkeepers, the shop owners, for the people strolling Main Street.
Speaking of local businesses that prosper in the summertime and stuff, did you see I haven't even posted it yet. Oh, you may not have seen it. Maybe you have. No, it's going on tonight. Big Mike's Bikes.
Yeah.
Big Mike. They relocated again. They just keep growing. They're just getting bigger and bigger, and they were at the...
They're down by Scafani's, right?
Now they're down by Scafani's, but they had moved two previous moves up in space. They were down by Maplewood Ave.
Right.
Next to 7-Eleven down there.
Right, down by the car wash.
Now they're on 57 Washington Street.
Yeah, where Walter Frederick was years and years ago. Walter Frederick had a business where they would... do blueprints and that kind of coffee.
Right. Well, then, anyway, the point I wanted to make was that I didn't know that they did. There was bike rentals.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you probably, because I know you hang around with wealthy people and stuff. it's your move. But you know how, like, Dan Tucker and stuff like that, they have, like, a bike culture?
Yeah.
Like, you can, people can, this is the move. Want to hear the move? You come from Boston, you come from someplace, you take the commuter rail. Don't even bother, you don't even have to take your car here, okay? Come down, you get off at the train station, across from the Rum Line. Maybe stop in the Rum Line for a pop, maybe not. But then you walk down, it's only 50 yards to Big Mike's Bikes.
And get a bike rental.
Get a bike rental.
Yeah.
Spend the weekend.
Right.
You know, when the hotel's built on the fort, great spot for that, but if not... Listen to this move, or even better move, right? You take the bike, you go down to if you don't feel like riding it around the Cape to Rocky Neck to the accommodations or to the back shore, you take the harbor shuttle. You put the thing on the harbor shuttle at the Harbor Cove where they pick up down there, the Sid Town Landing at St. Peter's Park.
Yeah.
Take it over there, and it's a no-brainer. And the other part is, They will. There is no fee. They will deliver a bike if say you did take a car and you're at the Atlantis on the Back Shore or the Bass Rocks Motor Inn or any of these other inns. They'll deliver you a bike for a bike rental.
Well, when I was going to school, when I first went away, one of the guys that lived in the dorm where I was, his name was Bob Young. And, I mean, he and I, we played hockey together, we played lacrosse together, that sort of thing. He was a fun guy. And I asked him, you know, what he did. And he said his family had a bike shop on Nantucket, that he grew up in Nantucket. So, as I said, Bobby, you know, he said he grew up in Nantucket, and his family had a little bike shop. Well, of course, I found a reason to go to Nantucket. It was the first time. And you get off the ferry, and there is Young's Bicycle Shop. And when I say it's a not a gold mine, it's a diamond factory.
I know exactly where the place is.
I mean, yeah. It's beyond belief.
Yeah.
And it used to be that if you did go for a rental, let's say a week's rental, you would bring maybe your car, a car, not six SUVs, a car. It was the old Country Squire Ford or whatever. But
with
that
wood
house,
paneling.
Right. But that house, they would provide six or seven bikes with the rental because that was the way people got around.
Yeah.
Okay, and I wish Gloucester certainly had more of that. I mean,
it's getting there. Guys are providing a great service.
Oh yeah, and the buses down there, by the way, in Nantucket are all free. They're doing everything they possibly can
to encourage less traffic.
Less traffic.
That's a great move.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
you know, that
and
would,
I mean the entire island.
That's not going to happen here because, it's gotten a lot better, but there's still a state. It's for some people here, they hate the tourism industry, so they're never going to let you kind of like cater to tourism.
And by the way, I'm sure you're aware of this. If let's say you live in urban Boston, it doesn't have to be Boston, it could be certainly Somerville, or if you get on the commuter rail, you can take the commuter rail to Gloucester and you can bring your bicycle.
Yeah, you could put it on the train.
On the train.
So that's what I'm saying. So my point in the video with Kathleen from Big Mike's Bikes was she should reach out to the water taxi people, and
that would be the move.
That would be the move. Point people to each other. The water taxi people should say, hey, you can rent a bike at Big Mike's Bikes for the weekend.
Right.
And she should say, hey, you could take your bike if you want to get across town. You don't feel like
pedaling
right. to East Gloucester from downtown.
Right.
You could take the thing, and then there's a lot of great places, beaches and stuff like that you can get to by bike.
From Rocky Neck, certainly over to Niles.
There's a billion, there's great places you can get.
Or take that bike to the Back Shore.
Because you're actually hampered with a car to get to the beaches in the summer, whereas you're not, a bike you could bring there and chain up. It's a great move.
It would be a great move. And, like you said, these businesses can benefit each other if they promote.
Cross promote, baby. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I don't know, people. I've kind of gotten back into doing these business announcements and stuff when they come opening and stuff like that. And I love doing them. I mean, people when I go in there and I ask people, oh, you want me to put it on the blog? There's a bunch of people look at it and stuff like that.
And some of the interviews
and
that you've done.
Yeah, a lot of them. Because a lot of these people from out of town that open up businesses here. And they look at you, first of all, they think that, because whenever one of these new businesses is about to open up, obviously, a bunch of, salespeople from, the cash register machine to the credit card company machine, they're getting inundated with salespeople. And then the advertising people are coming up to them, they want money from them. But I don't charge these people to interview them and bring them stuff to the blog. But I honestly do it because I really enjoy seeing people succeed, and I think if everybody succeeds and everybody kind of helps each other,
well, I think you've really helped a lot of people through time. I mean, some of the little restaurant or takeout restaurant sandwich shops, that sort of thing, would not be on people's radar if you did not, do some of the promotion.
What's your speaking of little restaurants and places like that? What's your go-to hot summer day, after late afternoon, what's your go-to drink?
Look,
I'm not talking about like a. I'm talking about it's a 95 degree.
No, I'm getting sweating down. I mean, you know, I wish that I could go somewhere and get a really good margarita. I mean, it would be fabulous with maybe some salsa and chips. That would be.
Nobody makes one up to your standards in town?
Well, no. I think it's got to be relatively inexpensive too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not gouge.
Not $11 for a top shelf margarita.
Yeah, I mean
$13.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have a hard time. I personally have a hard time paying $8 for a drink. Unless you can see that this place, the physical space that they're in, is a really beautiful, expensive overhead place to build, you know, sitting in really gorgeous fancy chairs and everything else, and you understand that these people have built-in costs that go beyond the
understand that they've got 10 weeks or maybe less time to really make a year's wage. This is not a 12-month
but business. I have a problem spending $8 or more for any drink.
Yeah.
Unless I'm in a really super crazy fancy place, but you know what I mean, it's just because I feel like it's like three or four sips, and you're done. And it's like, geez, I just worked out. I feel like $10 is like an hour's wage for somebody. You know what I mean? So like, that's hard. You know what I mean? Like, I just
And it doesn't have to have a gazillion ounces of liquor in it either. Mm. I mean, I think some of the places make a mistake by overpouring. I mean, part of the whole thing, whether you're quenching your thirst because you're having the chips and salsa, or because you're quenching your thirst because it's a hot, hot, hot day. I mean, if it's
I can't drink a lot of margaritas because I think it's the sour mix. Don't agree with me.
You know, I just, like I said, sometimes
that would be the thing, though.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to drink six of them.
Yeah,
you know, but you tend to quaff them because you are a little thirsty.
My summertime go-to drink on a hot day, like out for dinner or something like that, would be an orange Stolio.
Yeah.
Orange Stoli and tonic with a lime over ice. Like really cold. It just seems like it's nice. Not too sweet. Refreshing.
Yeah. I think that's great that, you know, you have yours. I generally don't use the quinine, the tonic water very much. It's not one of my favorites.
What would you use as
a... Well, I'm saying I might have something along that line, and I wouldn't have the flavored vodka. I might have, let's say, a regular Stoli with soda.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and a couple squeezes of lime.
Okay,
which I know the price of limes right now is through the roof.
Oh my god!
I understand that some of the local restaurants.
Why do you think?
I don't know. Okay. I wish I had the answer. Yeah. It could speak intellectually about it.
Yeah.
But I know that a couple restaurants here, bars, have said to their supplier, "No, I'm not buying limes." Until the price comes back down.
Yeah.
And you understand that somewhat. You've told me that sometimes you're almost embarrassed this time of the year.
To tell my restaurants what I have to charge them for
the lobsters, right? Because there just aren't any.
Yeah, and it's like, I'd rather you like just come back in a couple months.
Well,
you know, we're not doing any business anyway because there's hardly any landings this time of year. So,
but the price is on lobster is, I don't want to say ridiculous, but it's way high.
It's high, and you know what? These guys have to get that money so that they can survive in the winter, but it's just, I would almost like rather see my lobsterman, I'll go get other type of jobs in the winter because, like, if you're multiplying times zero because there's no, you know, it doesn't matter if the price is $20 a pound or if it's $6 a pound, $7 a pound, because the weight isn't there regardless.
Right.
You know?
But again, you know, if I were to go have the so-called adult beverage as opposed to a fine bottle of wine that would accompany a meal, it would be probably Stoli, soda, and a couple squeezes of lime.
Stoli, soda. So who's the best bartender in town, Gloucester, Massachusetts?
Wow.
Who's the best bartender? You would know. You're very critical. So
no.
Fair. It's fair. I would respect your thing.
People have strengths. I mean it in all honesty. Gene Dancing Machine. I always
Gene Silvera.
Yeah, I mean Gene down at Captain Carlos. You know, he certainly is a very accomplished. I mean, if you want him to make you a martini or
big following,
huge. But I mean,
he had a big influence in Katrina's. Did you know that?
Yeah, she hired him to help put it together.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, and I think his brother is the chef there too.
Okay.
But I mean, he's a classic example of somebody who's built a career out of being a bartender.
Yeah.
He's entertaining. He's knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a good guy. You know, I mean, you have different reasons. I mean, Erica Baird, okay.
From where?
She works down the rum line. You know Erica.
Oh, yes, Erica Baird. Of course. Yeah, yeah. Very personable.
All right. I mean, she's a sweetie. Not that Ellen Tasker, who's another one of the female bartenders down the rum line, isn't on par. Molly. I mean, the rum line has a couple gals that are just...
I would say if you take the whole staff of the rum line for mixology, I think that they probably... be the top in town, no?
Yeah, they do a fabulous job.
Did you say Halibut Point, the bartenders at Halibut Point?
I enjoy going there. Sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, there's somebody, a few people that we kind of gather mid-afternoon, and maybe we'll have a couple oysters and a martini. Mm-hmm. But
they make a drink the right way.
Yeah. I mean, they get it. You're not looking for the other half of it. I'm not going there for a ton of them. Like I said, I'm going for, you know, a nice martini and maybe a half dozen oysters.
Yeah. So what are some of the names of the best bartenders at Halibut Point then?
Well, I mean, Jack has certainly been there forever. I mean,
Jack Maniz
is great. Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why I really like Jack, it's not just his sense of humor, which is a very dry wit. For some people, they don't get him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you that's the truth. But Jack is one of these guys that follows sports. If you have an interest in sports, and it doesn't just have to be Boston sports, it could be college sports. I mean, he knows his stuff. And I really enjoy discussing sports with knowledgeable people. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason I really like him.
Some people, when I say, what's your favorite restaurant, they say, and this isn't, it's for one reason or another, it's just not on my radar, but it comes up enough that I'm going to mention it here. Lobster Land. They love the bar at the Lobster Land. I don't even know who the bartender is at the Lobster Land.
Well, there's a couple gals.
Okay.
And it's like Mary Lou. I just know her as Lou. And I think she was there working for the Ecolani family or something. I mean, before the family that owns it now.
Yeah.
You know. Corey and company, you know, family before they bought it.
All right. Well, here we are. It's the Gloucester Cast. We're going to wrap it up right here. Toby Pett, this has been a great one. Thanks for all your knowledge, Toby. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, Joey.